We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
High atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Great to have you along this afternoon. It is a Wingo Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game. We always get the opportunity at 4 o'clock to say hello to our buddy Trey Wingo, the host of ESPN's NFL Live. And boy, there's an awful lot to talk about after a week that was full of interesting performances and borderline, if not right over the line, horrific officiating, dotting way too many high-profile games. And look at it this way. Even the low-profile games deserve a better brand of officiating than the NFL's been able to offer its teams this year. Trey, thanks so much for joining us, man. I hope the turkey was nice and moist, the stuffing was delicious, and the pecan pie was perfect. How was everything?
It was really good. I'm probably 37 pounds heavier, but working back into shape.
Very nice. I'm glad that you're working your way back into the tailored suit shape we so often are accustomed to seeing you in over on the set of NFL Live. I'm guessing that you've been talking about, you know, the officiating issues. We saw Pete Morelli's crew almost grind a football game to a screeching halt in Santa Clara. They've then been pulled off of a Sunday night football game. What's amazing is that they get pulled off the marquee game and then get assigned to a Patriots-Eagles game, which sounds a little marquee anyways. You know, without pointing any more fingers at anyone, if it were up to you, Trey, to come up with one thing that might improve NFL officiating, what would that one thing be?
Cut the rule book in half. I mean, you know, we really need a Sparks Notes or Cliff Notes version of the NFL rulebook. You know, we had the head of the NFL officiating come to ESPN, the studios here, every year before the season starts to sit down with us and talk about changes and talk about things. And we had Al River on, who was up here a few years ago, and this was when we're going to start implementing the running back can't lower his head and use the crown of the helmet as a weapon rule. And they specifically took a play from Trent Richardson when he was with the Browns running over, I think Kurt Coleman it was, of the Eagles. And they said, you know, outside the tackle box, this can't be allowed. And I said, Al, I get what you're going for and I understand it, but it seems to me they're asking you, meaning the league, to do things that are physically and humanly impossible. The number of things all of you officials have to process at one time, I just don't see how it's possible for you to do it. How do you feel about this? And he said, no, I think we're going to be okay. And I think as the game speeds up and the officials aren't getting any younger, you're seeing that that's the problem. There's so many things that are having to be processed by the officials. It's just a matter of math. It's simple physics. There's not enough time and to do the things that they're being required to do. And the rule book is so nuanced and so complex, it's just got to be blown up.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Raiders season, and people are still talking playoffs, and that's an accomplishment right there in itself. When was the last time you actually said playoffs and mathematical possibility about the Oakland Raiders in December? It's been over a decade. So that right there means things are getting better. You know, this is a Chiefs team that's coming in that they got to deal with. And then after that, Broncos, Packers, Chargers, and Chiefs again. Three of those games are at home. Any sort of scenario that they go to the playoffs would mean they go 4-1 here in their final five games. I mean, I just don't give them a good shot at doing that. But a year of progress, and even though it was ugly, they won in Tennessee. Bad officiating right in the center of that victory, by the way. The Raiders got a first down off of a fourth and incomplete thanks to a really dodgy call that went their way. What do you see when you look at the Oakland Raiders? Do you see a team?
I think you summed it up, Damon. I see improvement. I see a team moving in the right direction. You're right. It's going to be hard to look at that remaining schedule and say, oh, yeah, pencil them in. Is it possible? Well, sure. I mean, last year Carolina started this week, actually, the first of their four straight wins to end the season last year, and then, of course, went on to win, you know, the first 11 this year. They've won 15 straight games. Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely, depending on who they're playing? No. But, look, you're right. The fact that we're having this conversation that makes them relevant speaks volumes. And they had to win Sunday in Tennessee. They had to win after the three-game losing streak, and Tennessee is not a good home team. And the one thing you take out of this is the solidification of what Derek Carr is to this franchise. And what he was able to do on that final drive, I think, spoke volumes. And there's going to be some changes, maybe up front too, on the offensive line with some free agency. But they're moving in the right direction, which is literally the best thing you can say since 2003.
The Kansas City Chiefs got off to a horrific start this year. They've really turned it around, and maybe the best way to secure a win is to secure the football. Over their last 5 weeks, 14 turnovers, or 14 takeaways, zero turnovers by the Chiefs, and that is obviously what Alex Smith intends to do every time he takes the field, protect the football. Beyond the turnover battle, what has turned around the Chiefs?
Well, the defense is playing a lot better. They really are. And they got dealt a little bit of a blow there with the Justin Houston injury. But I honestly, I'm not sure you can say it's anything more than the turnover battle. You go by any scenario, any statistic you want to go, and turnovers dictate everything. Take a look at the Carolina Panthers. They are plus 16 on the turnover differential. So they have taken it away 16 times more than they've turned it away. That's four better than any other team. And their plus 16 in the differential is better than four teams' total takeaways on the year. So we can slice any game a million different ways, but 99% of the time, the game will come down to this. Did you hold on to the ball, and did you take it away from the opposition? Because if you do that, you're going to win. And look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They're plus 14 with no turnovers in that time frame. Their point differential is almost 100 in five games, plus 99, simply based on the idea of protect the ball and take it away.
Trey Wingo, the host of ESPN's NFL Live here on the Damon Bruce Show, shifting our focus to the 49ers. If you're a betting man, who do you got coaching this team in 2016, Tom Sula or the field?
Honestly, you'd have to say the field at this point. And, you know, but that's it's one person's decision there, and we all know that it's going to be what Jed York wants to do. Look, I'm not sure Jim was dealt a winning hand to begin with everything that happened on defense, and the way Colin has regressed certainly hasn't helped. Look, this is a franchise that, you know, at one point won 10 games 16 straight years in a row, which is remarkable. And this is a franchise that, you know, outside of last year, three straight years was in the NFC Championship game. It's a war of attrition. You just can't lose. The idea of next man up is always great, and it sounds good, and it works everywhere. It works nowhere but New England. You know, they're the best people at it. You just can't lose the players that the 49ers have lost and expect anyone to come in there and put a bandage over a bleeding gash that's 6 inches deep. It just doesn't work. And so I can't say that I know that Jim Tom Sula is a good head coach or a bad head coach, I know that it's hard to win with players that aren't good.
That is some deep analysis. It really is. No, but you're dead right, man. I mean, no one. Bill Walsh is not taking this team to the playoffs if his ghost showed up today to coach this
possible.
Team.
It's not possible.
Blaine Gabbert reclaiming his career as a legitimate starting quarterback. I tell you what, in brief moments, it looks like a possibility. And by the way, the Colin Kaepernick jersey is the only jersey available at a discounted price right now on the 49ers team store, which means he's gone.
Yeah, it is. And it's really amazing. He needs a fresh start to go somewhere and reboot himself. But the one thing we know about this league, before we get to Gabbert on Kaepernick, they'll eventually figure out what you do well, the opposing coaching stats, and they'll try and take that away from you.
Yep.
So then it's up to you to come up either with your next swim move as a defensive lineman or a next set as an offensive lineman or a different rush as a linebacker. And if you don't do that, you're pretty easy to defend. And that has been the problem for Colin. He has got to realize what worked in 2012 isn't going to work now unless I add something else to my game. And as far as Blaine Gabbert goes, yeah, you know, he was left for dead, man, after he left Jacksonville. So to have anybody say, well, maybe he could work for us, I think is a remarkable turnaround. And the biggest thing for him was you put in the tape of him in Jacksonville, and you could tell the rush was getting to him, and he was like, I don't want to take that hit anymore. Well, just look at a couple of weeks ago when he took that big hit and didn't want to leave the field. But he had to because of the spotter and the independent neurologist wanted to look at him. That one thing, more than anything else, I think explains the difference in Blaine's game. He's always had the arm to make all the throws, but it's the willingness to hang in there that has changed.
Finish the sentence, and then we'll say thanks so much. The Cleveland Browns starting Austin Davis over Johnny Manziel is blank.
Is Clevelandy. He's the 24th starting quarterback since 1999, by far the most in the NFL. Put that in perspective, the Patriots have used three since 1999. Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady, and Matt Castle for 1 year when they went 11-5. I know this coaching staff has pretty much given up on Johnny Manziel, but the question remains to be seen whether or not this coaching staff is going to have a chance to say who does it in 2016 anyway. Cleveland, the fans deserve better. And let me just, real quickly, I know we're running out of time here. Let's just go through the first-round picks of the Cleveland Browns since 2011. Phil Taylor, out of the league. Ooh. Trent Richardson, out of the league. Brandon Whedon, out of the league. Barkevious Mingo, they tried to give him away for a warm bucket of spit at the trade deadline. Justin Gilbert, can't get on the field. Johnny Manziel, sitting as the emergency quarterback. Danny Shelton playing but anchoring the worst run defense in the NFL. And Cameron Irving, everyone thought would be an all-pro center. They have him playing at guard, and he's only made two starts. That is the 1927 Yankees, a murderer's row of how to screw up your franchise by missing on first-round draft picks.
That is unbelievable. It really is. All of a sudden, anyone complaining about Reggie McKenzie? Shouldn't. Thank you very, very much, Trey. Great to talk to you, man. Always appreciate your time.
Damon, every week we get closer to seeing each other in San Francisco. Look forward to it.
Oh, by the way, we seriously got to connect on your Olympic Club tee time soon. I'll shoot you a message this week.
If you think I'm going to say no to that, you're waiting for a long time.
No, I know you're going to say yes, my friend. There he is, Trey Wingo. It will be fun when Super Bowl gets here. It really will. Gianna, you ready for a little media row?
I can't wait. It'll be my first time.
I know.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Button Vixen, you can be ready to be stuck in studio and never even see it, not for a drop or a second.
It's so unfair for her.
She's going to have you wear the man bun all week long. 888-957-9570. That is the number when we come on back. Did you see the Pac-12 announced an all-century team? Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at this sucker when we get back.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Golden State Warriors are taking early control of this game in Charlotte tonight, and it is Klay Thompson that's actually making it rain on Dell Curry night, not Steph Curry. Klay has begun, already has 13 points here in the first quarter as the Warriors take the lead. And, of course, the game is in commercial break. I was looking up to give you a score. 18-9, Warriors in front of the Hornets. Is that how you pronounce that? Hornets?
Sure.
I think so. What do we got up here? D. Bruce, the Raiders had an important December. Remember Hugh Jack City? Come on. It still didn't feel that important. Although that is the one guy who that they'd stuck with him. Who knows where things would have been a little while ago. But look, whatever you had to go through to get to what you got right now, it's probably worth it because I think the Raiders are building towards a very successful future, and coming up in just a little bit, at the start of next hour, we're going to get into the latest news that I saw on ProFootballTalk.com, other places starting to talk today, a little bit about the next L.A. vote, when they're going to vote on this, and what if the Raiders get backdoor business right out of L.A.? There is a chance that that happens, apparently. Maybe the Raiders are left in the cold while the Chargers decide to share a stadium with San Kroenke. Now, Vic Tafer just said that the NFL might force the Raiders to play at Levi's Stadium, which makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it should make you throw up in your mouth just a little bit. But would it be better than them leaving? Yes. There's no doubt. There's no doubt it would be better for the Bay Area football scene if the Raiders stayed in the Bay Area, even though they'd be essentially in Gilroy. The Pac-12 announced its all-century team. And it's, I tell you, as you sit here and look about all the guys who are on this all-century team, there may be nothing scarier about any aspect of this team than the offensive line. Everybody looks at Sizzle and all the skill position. I mean, you got countless USC run. As a matter of fact, every single running back on the Pac-12 all-century team went to USC. It's Marcus Allen, O.J. Simpson, Charles White, Reggie Bush, and Mike Garrett. The quarterbacks, by the way, are John Elway, Marcus Mariota, a little something new thrown in there, Jim Plunkett, Andrew Luck, and Matt Leinart.
Okay.
Wide receivers, Keyshawn Johnson, Lynn Swan, Marquise Lee, J.J. Stokes, and Ken Mangrum down at Stanford. Tight ends, Tony Gonzalez and Charles Young. That makes sense to me. Here is your offensive line. Jonathan Ogden, Ron Yari, Tony Boselli, Anthony Munoz, Lincoln Kennedy, Brad Buttle, and Randall McDaniel from Arizona State. That is, that offensive line could push the Great Wall of China around, okay? That is, that offensive line makes this. I'm sure every single conference can put together a really, really, really impressive all-century team. I don't know if you can put together a better offensive line if you put together every single conference's all-century offensive line than that. That is insane. Anthony Munoz is the greatest tackle that ever played the game of football. He really is. That guy was a one-man wrecking crew. Lincoln Kennedy wasn't too far away from being one of the greatest all-timers. Jonathan Ogden, come on. That's sick. Your DNs are Teddy Bruschi, Terrell Suggs, Willie McGinnis, Andre Carter, Jim Jeffcoat. D-tackle. Number the first guy come to my mind, Steve Entman. I mean, of course, and he's the first guy on the list, followed by Haloti Ngata. Linebackers, Junior Seau, Jerry Robinson, Rich Wood. Your corners, Joey Browner, Mel Renfro. Safeties are pretty good. Ronnie Lott, Kenny Easley, Troy Polamalu, and Mark Carrier. Your all-time punter. Your all-time punt returner, Reggie Bush. And they're going with John McKay as the all-time all-century team coach. No Pete Carroll, huh? No Pete Carroll? Going to go student body left, student body right. Look at it this way. With those running backs and that offensive line, you wouldn't have to throw the ball once in the entire game. Be like, hey, John Elway, I know you're the starting quarterback today. You don't even get to throw the ball. Not allowed. I love an all-century team. Let's go to Gabe in Martinez. How are you, Gabe? You're on 95.7 The Game. Gabe, I guess we got a dicey connection. From the text line, Damon, shouldn't an all-century team be from 2000 to 2015? No, it's an all-century of Pac-12 play. Not this century. It's not a this century team. It's 100 years. So there you go. Damon, please don't give us any Warrior updates. I'm recording it and driving home to watch. Did Ralph send that to me?
We're not going to be giving the update of the Warriors tonight. I'm going to get home and watch it. Don't tell me what's on Monday Night Football.
Let
the boy watch.
Yes, we will be updating the game in progress.
You've been warned.
I'm sorry it's going to happen. How about this? I'll make a deal with you. I won't give you the score anymore, but Gianna's going to keep giving you the score.
So just turn me down.
So basically...
at the top and bottom, you know when I'm coming on the air.
Or
thanks, Damon.
Well, here's the thing. I understand his sentimentality. I understand what he's going for. There are times I like to be in the cone of darkness and enjoy something myself. So I won't be spoiling... By the way... the Warriors leading in the first quarter did not spoil your viewing pleasure. Like, it's going to happen. By the way, it's 28-15, Golden State Warriors, first quarter.
And if he's looking for Steph Curry, watch him about 32 feet from the basket. He might hit a three in the first quarter.
That was sick. I saw that.
That was as deep as you're going to shoot it.
Yeah. If Steph Curry shot that three from any deeper, He would have shot it from Utah, basically. He would have shot it from the win over Utah if he were any deeper in Charlotte. As soon as we come on back, the Warriors are my side piece, and Curry is better on the road than on home, and the numbers show it.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Please, Damon, no Warriors score sprinkled in throughout the show. All right. Okay. I'll make a deal with you. Whatever the audience wants.
Oh, okay.
That's me, Mr. Whatever you ask for. I'm here to deliver it to you.
It's your holiday gift this month.
Happy holidays, everybody. Like we told you, it's time. It's time of the year where the holidays permeate the show. The season of giving is upon us. The Warriors winning streak looks like it is also upon us. And it's just a beautiful time of the year. It really is. It warms my heart.
So does this.
It warms my heart. Is it just me or is that a little hot? Yeah. It should be a little more gentle. Shouldn't be intrusive. That's just beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful.
That says the holidays.
So Curry and the Warriors are going for 20-0 tonight. We will not let you know that they have an 8-point lead right now in the first quarter, because that would be a little bit of a spoiler. They're one win shy of tying the longest win streak to begin a regular season in the history of the four major professional sports. Only the 1884 Maroons. Frickin' Maroons. I hate the Maroons, don't you?
Yeah.
What's the Maroons' Twitter handle in 1884? That thing must have been humming back then, right? We will go over, by the way, what a great year 1884 was in just a little bit. But Curry has been the very best he's been on the road all season long. And I've always said, at home, that's the potential you play to. On the road, it reveals who you really are. And Steph Curry right now has scored 40 points in four of his first nine road games played this season. Allen Iverson scored 40 in five of his first 10 games in 2005 and 6. And Curry is the first player since Iverson to have this many 40-point performances on the road to open a season since Iverson in 2005 and 6. Steph Curry at home this season is averaging 29.8 points. He's had one 40-point game. He's shooting 49% from the field and 43% from downtown. The numbers go up in every single category on the road. He is scoring 33.6% on the or scoring 33.6 points per game on the road. He's had four 40-point games on the road. He's shooting 52.7% from the field on the road and 46.1 from behind the three-point line. That is insane. Curry turns a road game into a layup drill. Obviously, he grew up in Charlotte. We all know that. He even today, I don't know if you saw this, said that the Warriors would lose a game before his beloved Charlotte Panthers do. Steph Curry, he's averaged 29 points per game. That is best of all NBA teams but one. He also averages 29 points as a visitor in Portland. But this is, he has not averaged a higher scoring total against any team than he's averaged in Charlotte. And even though he's not off to a lickety-split start tonight, the Warriors are, and Klay Thompson's off to a real good start tonight. And really, what would you rather see? Another Steph putting the team on his back and carrying them with a 40-point performance, or Steph being able to score 25 and Klay really contributing? I'll take that every day of the week. And you should, too. So the Warriors are looking to go 2-0 on their 7-game road trip. And like we were talking about earlier with Sam Amick, there's never been a 7-0 road trip in the NBA, ever. So now we have a possible streak within a streak. It's streak inception. It's a dream within a dream within a dream. It's a streak within a streak. Elio? Is that how we're saying this? Elio? Hey, how you doing? Either way, Redwood City.
Hey, how's it going, Damon?
Going great, thank you.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. I was I'm at work currently, and I was just thinking, I'm a first-time caller. What do you think of a trade from San Francisco 49ers to Cleveland Browns? Kaepernick for Manziel. That's all I got. Question. I'll take your answer on the other side, brother.
I appreciate the question, but the truth is, trade's not necessary. I think both guys are going to be on the open market at the end of this year. No one would have to trade for Colin Kaepernick if they wanted him. Colin Kaepernick is going to be a free agent the minute the Niners don't pick up his contract, and you can have him. You don't have to give up an asset. You just have to sign Kaepernick. No one's going to trade for him. Manziel, who will still be under contract, obviously, is a guy that, I mean, I think you don't even have to trade for him. The Browns are going to have to cut him. What the Browns are doing right now with Johnny Manziel is a spectacular lesson in how not to basically win football games or look at your players as assets. The Browns have painted themselves into a doozy thanks to their quarterback, who's a little boozy. Let me just say, I never thought for a second that Johnny Manziel had a problem that needed rehab to help him through it. I think he needs maturity more than he needed rehab. I think this guy pulled the I have a drinking problem fire alarm, and it was a little bit of a false alarm. But it's here's the thing. I don't think Johnny's got a problem with drinking. Johnny just likes to party, man. Johnny's a party guy. What do they call it? FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
FOMO, it's real. It's like Tony Romo, FOMO. The fear of missing out. Johnny Manziel, his fear of missing out rating in Madden is 100 out of 100. Like, that guy wants to be courtside, at the party, throwing the party, in the hot tub, at the VIP table. It's who he is. Johnny is a likes-to-party guy. I'm sure you know likes-to-party guy or likes-to-party girl. You know, often likes-to-party guy, likes-to-party girl can still manage their life. Likes-to-party guy, likes-to-party girl probably has a job that they hold down and reports to frequently, regularly, making decent cash, decent life. Hey, likes-to-party guy, likes-to-party girl can be married with kids.
True.
At times. I'm going to tell you right now, this kid right here, what you're hearing from right now, this kid, he can party. I can party. I can party with the best of them. I can party. But I also, as much as I like to party a little bit, I'll stay home, order Chinese food, and not leave the damn apartment for 3 days in a row. I also like my quiet time. I don't have this constant fear of missing this party or that party or this party or that part. And obviously, Johnny does. You know, I'm not like some other folks who just got to be out 7 nights a week. You know, I enjoy a quiet night in. So the Browns bench Johnny Manziel because he is photographed at a party out in Austin. Which, by the way, having just been there not too long ago, if you're trying to avoid parties and you're going to Austin in your free time, you're doing it wrong. That town is begging you to come party.
Oh, yeah.
That's all Austin. Austin is a party. Great town. Lots of fun. And Johnny, I think, played the, and this is just my theory. Look, maybe the guy's got demons that I'm disrespecting here. I'm not trying to be disrespectful of people who are seeking treatment or anything like that. But I think Johnny Manziel pulled a false alarm. When the world was crashing down on him, when everyone's talking about his lack of maturity, while the Cleveland Browns aren't impressed with him, he goes, well, I got a serious problem and I'm going to rehab. So now that's the tent that your show is playing under. So the, hey, we caught you in a bar again, comes with a lot more repercussion to the guy who played the rehab card than the guy who never did and just said, I don't have a problem. I just likes to get down. So now, with Josh McCown, who's hurt with a broken collarbone, this team's looking at Austin Davis to start this week. Austin Davis. I asked Trey Wingo about this. I said, Trey, what do you think? He said, this sounds so Clevelandy. It's the most Clevelandy thing in the world, and really it is. See, Coach Mike Pettine, or Pettine, whatever it is, coach about to be fired, is going with him essentially to teach Manziel a lesson. And there's some people out there saying, you know what, he was demoted to third string for violating the team's trust, and it's time that he gets taught a lesson. Now, here's a guy who's never heard the word no. Maybe hearing the word no will finally wake him up and hold him accountable. Let me tell you something. You want to hold your quarterback accountable? Play him. No one's ready to hold Johnny Manziel more or less accountable for the work he's putting in or not putting in than actual NFL players on the field trying to beat him. Like, you want to hold Johnny Manziel, you want to get Johnny Manziel's full freaking attention? Tell him he's the starter the rest of the way. Not, you got nothing but free time and you're not even going to play and you're an emergency quarterback and now they've got an injury. You're back to, you're promoted once again to the backup. Oh, and here's another thing. Guess what the Browns aren't? His parents. It's not up to them to raise him. It is up to the Browns to manage him as a team asset. And right now, they're grounding him like a child that needs a timeout. If you play him, the league will hold him accountable. You'll either decide there's something that we can work with here, or you can showcase him for a possible trade should anyone want a little Johnny Manziel in their life. And by the way, since this Browns-Manziel relationship just looks fractured, that's probably what's going to happen. I can't say Johnny's going to be in Cleveland for very long. You think they get something out of him? Stick around. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's funny. We love Likes to Party Guy. Look at Rob Gronkowski and the bounce that he gets from being Likes to Party Guy. It's when, you know, the perception that you take it too far starts to dominate the headlines that you've blown it. And here's the thing. Gronk is good enough at what he does on Sundays to make you not worry about Monday through Saturday.
Right. It's the performance there.
Manziel has not earned the benefit of that doubt. He had it in college, and that's why he basically got away with murder in college, because it was like, you know, say what you ever, whatever you want to say, whatever you don't like. He just won at Alabama, so shut up. You know, I mean, the guy got it done. And when you're getting it done, you must feel like the king of the world. You got to feel invincible. When you're winning the Heisman Trophy as a freshman, it is insane.
Top of the world.
It's insane. So, look, I just think Johnny played his don't you all feel bad for me card a little bit too much, and that's haunting him now as much as his fear of missing out is. You know, a guy here on the text line, he's like, Damon, thank you very much. You know, this is it's not like we got a Josh Hamilton situation with this guy. It's exactly. Johnny Manziel's not sitting around spiking up so often he tattoos blue flames so you don't see the track marks up his forearms.
Right.
You know, that's why Josh got the blue flames. Yeah. He hates those now, and he's looking at them. He's like, oh, it reminds me of heroin. But anyway, I just don't understand. Like, if you want to get rid of Johnny Manziel, you should be playing him even more than if you want to see if it's going to work out. It's not up to the Cleveland Browns to raise a fine young man here. They need to evaluate a quarterback and figure out whether they want to be in bed long term or not. Let's go to Idris calling from Hayward. You know, Idris, it's funny. Sometimes I call you Idris. Hey. Sometimes I go Idris. Sometimes I go Idris. Which is it?
It's Idris.
Idris. It's, Idris. It's a hard E. Okay.
Hey, how's it going? Love listening to your show. I got two quick things to throw out there on a good note and a bad note. Good note. At the rate Curry's going, he's liable to get MVP and most improved player, given what he's doing. And on the second note, I don't know if I want the Warriors to go all out in the regular season and then not have enough juice in the postseason. And we haven't played the Spurs or OKC, and those are two teams that I respect enough to where I would see nothing wrong if we lost to them. I was just curious on your points on those two.
Thank you, man. Okay. I here's the deal. I don't think you're allowed to be the reigning MVP and then come back next year, win MVP and most improved player. Like, I just, at some point, they're going to say, nah, you got to spread it around a little. It would be unbelievable, though, if that actually happened. And it would be a modern monument to the guy's work ethic. You know, he's an MVP, and he gets so much better in the offseason. He's MVP again next year and the most improved player. I don't even have to ask Danny to look that up. That's never happened. In terms of, I'm sorry. What was the second part of the question? I'm blanking on it. Too tired. Thank you very much. Button Vixen.
Paying attention.
You know what? You can just take the bun right off right now. You don't need to wear that anymore. You are a woman of distinction. No shame. I'm not worried about them being tired. I'm not worried about this team. I'm not worried about this streak. I'm not worried about them losing a game. I'm not worried about where they're going to be seated. I'm not worried about who their opponent's going to be. I'm not worried about who might be waiting for them in the finals. This team is an absolute force of nature. And you let the strong wind blow. You let the driving rain soak everybody. You let the blizzard happen. Like, just, I'm not worried about anything. The Golden State Warriors officially don't worry me. Not at all. Not at all. You're telling me, you know, Curry blows his knee out? Yeah, now we're officially worried.
Knock on wood.
You're telling me that half the team came down with walking pneumonia and needs to miss a full calendar year? The whole team? What's a kissing disease? Mononucleosis?
Mono, yeah.
The whole team has mono? Yeah, okay. Now you got to be a little bit worried. I'm not worried about anything else. And you know what? They're going to lose a game here. They're going to lose a game eventually. And everyone's going to be like, well, how do you think they're going to respond? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to go out and kick that next team's ass. That's what they're going to do. The Warriors are on, if he dies, he dies mode. They're full Drago. They're full Drago. They really are. They're looking to destroy everyone and everything. And it will take the best effort the other team has and several things not clicking for the Warriors in any given game for them to lose it. I do not believe there is another team's solo effort good enough to beat the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors will, I think, play a big role in defeating themselves when we look back at their losses, which at some point, again, are sure to come. I don't think they play any different if they're settling for 69 wins or if they're trying to win 75 games. I think you're going to get the same level of effort out of this team. That's the thing. This team isn't even playing the game that they're actually playing. This team is almost playing against its own standard, which it set for itself. And the opponent's faces and jerseys change. But the Warriors are playing like they're against their own brand and standard of excellence. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It almost begs the question, and this, I'm not trying to be disrespectful of Luke Walton's effort here at all. Would the Warriors be 18-0, 19-0, looking at 20-0 if I were coaching them right now? But is this team really coaching itself? I kind of think it is. I think there is so much accountability. And there's so much leadership and there's so much ownership of this team by the guys on this team that they don't need a coach to motivate them. They don't need an opponent to motivate them. I think they are playing against their own imagination standard of excellence that they're shooting and setting every night. They're unbelievable.
It's like they're on autopilot. Like they just know what to do.
Yeah. Do you ever think, look, I'm going to go back to maybe not Mark Jackson, but go back to the very best of Steve Kerr. Go back to the whatever we've seen this year. Like, do you think that there was anything Luke Walton said during a timeout which had them come back from 23 down against the Clippers? I don't think it was anything Luke Walton said. I think it was the will and skill of this team. I don't think there is a strategical shift that it has ever occurred at halftime, which then, well, now they're ready to win. They were ready to win when the game tipped off. They were ready to win when they were down 15 points. I mean, they just don't stop coming. And I don't think they're being motivated by any collection of words or clipboards or drawn up ideas. This team knows how to play. They know what their own strengths and weaknesses are. And they bring brass knuckles every single night to play you. They do. It's awesome. Just awesome. Stick around. Much more on the way. A guest-free hour and 5 o'clock, which means we get to talk an awful lot to you.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.